We're experiencing an awakening today, folks. There is an awakening that the world has never experienced before. It's not confined to the walls of one particular church. It's not confined to one denomination. God totally ignores those walls and those barriers. He looks at the needs and the hungers of the hearts. And then he looks at what his plan and purpose, and he sees these vast, vast areas of people, and he says, I paid for them. I have so much invested in them. I want them. Hallelujah. God's doing it. When he was telling me what a beautiful thing it was to watch all of these Catholics get together in these little huddles and just pray for each other. And the excitement and the new life that is coming to the Catholic churches. And then I talked to him about, I said, this might surprise you, but this is happening in the Episcopal Church, in the Methodist Church, Presbyterian churches, the Lutheran churches. And It was something that was so such an eye opener to know that what God is doing. Some weeks ago, when I received a message direct from the Lord by Heavenly Messenger, I was told how that when God founded His church, it was like a beautiful pool of men and women living in the, just bathing in the love and the light and the life that Jesus provided. But as people moved away from the center and each went his own way toward his own likings, they went into their own little pastures. And this pool was like a watering hole with fences running out like spokes away from it. And as a result, each pasture is labeled now with what they happen to be. There's the Baptist pasture, the Catholic pasture, the Methodist pasture, the Pentecostal pasture, the charismatic pastures of a number of different varieties, all different kinds. But this heavenly messenger said that what you are witnessing today is God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by His heavenly hosts, they're moving the sheep back to the pool. Well, where there are no fences. Ooh, doesn't that make you feel good? Hallelujah! That's why in this congregation today, you're sitting beside people that a few months ago or a few weeks ago, a few years ago, You couldn't have had good fellowship with them because you were fundamental and they were liberal. Or you were Nazarene and they were LDS. Or I could name a whole lot of other denominations. There's a little warfare that goes on between them. But down in the pool, there are no fences. Hallelujah. We're here together this morning, and God is making it, doing such a beautiful thing. It's one of these times, something you can pray for, there's nothing definite said. But I believe that should the Lord tarry, you can look forward to a great Catholic Protestant revival meeting, crusade, packing both sides at Boise State University Stadium. Hallelujah. This priest that was here, one of his men, myself, and in the prayer time, we prayed about this very thing. And he has a letter at this time addressed to John Bertolucci, asking him if he would come and minister and help in the great awakening that's taking place. Don't ask me for a calendar date. Don't ask me for any details. But I want you to know a little bit of the vision that is taking shape. Hallelujah. That vision is going to crystallize and become a reachable goal. Hallelujah. 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 If you feel like I do about this, why don't you stand to your feet and lift both hands toward heaven? Thank God for what He's doing, for the great awakening in the world, for His care, for His concern. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We appreciate You, Lord. Praise Thy wonderful name. We thank You that You have allowed us to live in this day where we can witness the mighty moving of the Holy Ghost. Praise Your name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, gathered in this auditorium today is the same type of cross-section as will be in that great crowd as they crown You, Lord of all. For they're from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And You are preparing Your people. You're opening their hearts. By the Spirit, You're causing the fruit and the characteristics of Christ to be seen. The love, the joy, the gentleness, the care and concern for one another. Thank You, Father, for the great awakening. Thank You for the rebuilding and the reuniting of Your divided family. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You so much. Praise God. Praise God. While you're standing, if a bunch of Catholic priests could reach out to somebody and join hands with them and have a little prayer time, and it was good for them and they liked it and said they'd like to continue doing something like that, I believe a whole bunch of people like us could do that, don't you? I don't care. You might be from, might be a bunch of you Catholic. How many are here from Catholic background? Did I see your hands? Boy, there must be 100 of you. And there's some of you probably are still part of it because we're all part of the same family now, you see. Praise God. So I'd like to have you. It might be that every other row could turn around so you won't be grabbing somebody's back. And nobody will be able to get a hold of anybody if everybody turns around. But it'd be good to if you could turn around to every other row and just take a hold of three or four people in a little circle there. And let's just do like those Catholic priests did. I think this would be a good thing to do today. Praise God. Just pray for those people. Praise the Lord for them and for this great time. Up in the balcony, all over, praise the Lord. Jesus, we thank You. I know that Your heart is pleased, dear Lord, as we praise You now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There might be a word of encouragement God puts in your heart, a word of exhortation to give someone that's standing there. Just feel free to do it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus, how we love. Lord, I pray right now that each person as they stand before You will feel the warm glow. May the Spirit whisper to each heart that these are their brothers and sisters in the Lord, part of the same family, having the same Father. Praise God. that you're bringing us back together again, breaking down those old barriers. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your care, that you're here with us today. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just sing together now the chorus, I love you with the love of the Lord. They sang this in that Catholic meeting too.
Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord.
Praise God. I would like to just one more time highlight this great all-church dinner we're going to have together here. Rather than having a whole lot of separate little dinners, we thought of how great it would be if we could all have a dinner together. And we're going to use all the rooms that we've got, and then we're coming back into the auditorium here. We're going to have an old-fashioned Christmas time together here. When's that going to be? This Friday. Ooh, it's getting close. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is not a dinner for Maranatha School. They're just helping do the legwork and getting it ready for us. So this is going to be for all of us. Let's just have a great time together. Will you do that? Plan to come. Plan to come. I know that it's going to be a great time. I just hope we can get the Happy Harpers here to give us a little bit of their Christmas fun that they're sharing around the country, and some of the other people that we have for an old-fashioned kind of Christmas time. Next Sunday night, is it still confirmed, John, that Brother David King is going to be with us, a man that for quite a number of years has been associated with Melody Land, with Dave Wilkerson, or Ralph Wilkerson in Melody Land, Anaheim. And his ministry has been a ministry, just like we're talking about, reaching out beyond the lines of denominations and a real ministry of love. And he's going to be here next Sunday night. So you tell your friends about it. Let's have the building packed out also for that service. Miracle Ministry. Praise God. All right. We just really appreciate the moving of the Holy Spirit, and we know that God's just waiting to do things for us in a beautiful miracle way. I'm going to spend a little more time this morning on our communion time. Just waiting before the Lord. You know, we've had a beautiful ministry already this morning. We will be giving you a portion of the Word as a setting. But something I feel is very important, and it has special meaning to me because I've watched it grow. I watched a young man in the surrender of his life to the Lord and watched him develop in the Lord. And now the Lord has led him to one of our fine young ladies, and they're going to get married. And so I would like to ask Gary Martin and Julia Christman, if they would stand at their feet somewhere. I'd like for you to see them get acquainted with them. Right here. Praise God. Didn't your present hunger and relationship with Christ begin down at the Up With Jesus crusade? Lord, just awaken something within him, a hunger for God, and he has really developed and grown. If that was the only one that was touched, you know what God says in heaven? One is worth more than the whole wide world. Praise God. And this one here is worth the... He's a double bonus. With the if you don't believe it, you ask Julie there. Then I would like to emphasize also the tapes that have been prepared. We've been announcing the sequel to the Throne Room, and for those who may be unfamiliar with this, a year ago, this coming January, the 22nd of January, God took me into the throne room of heaven and allowed me to see things that were magnificent, beautiful, and still awesome. He gave me a paper with 120 things written on it. Some of them they were dates, they were events, they were places, they were people. And about 20 of these had dates on them at which the events would take place and be fulfilled. All of these that had dates on them have been fulfilled right on the day that God said they would. Right on the day. And the other things have been fulfilled in sequence. And one of the things, just after this happened, it became such a big part of my life. Often I would sit and jot down and muse little jottings of these things and wondering how it could ever happen, how God would ever bring it about. And I, on this sequel to the throne room that's back here, it's ready now, I have put some of these things, some that were of importance. I told you a little bit about it, and I trust that you get one. It's very important. One of the things that has helped to awaken the interest of the Catholic community has been not a prediction, but a statement on this paper of the present Pope is coming into office. On the paper that the Lord gave me nearly 2 years ago was the name of Karol Wojtyla of Poland, who was to be the present Pope. And this, you'll find this on, and this has created a tremendous interest among them. I confided in several friends before the Pope John Paul I was put in, or when he was put in, that I had a different name than that, and we queried about it, but one of them said, "Do you suppose God made a mistake, or you made a mistake?" I said, "Well, I didn't put it down. I know God doesn't make any mistakes." In a ministry, I gave these words to them: a ministry to be complete doesn't have to be long. And there was no date on this particular entry. So I talked with some of our missionaries about this while it was going on. The choice was going on, and it was a tremendous excitement and interest when the paper came out the next day with the heading. There was the person that the Lord had let me know was coming in. Hallelujah. I might just say this. Do you mind me rambling like this once in a while? I tell you, I just kind of feel like rambling a little bit. It's all right. This, wording on this paper, God dealt with me and spoke with me about it. But on the paper itself, said that the Pope is no greater in the eyes of God than the very least of his saints. is no more highly privileged than the least of God's saints. Has no more special favor than the least of his saints. But then it went on to say, has no greater influence with God. But because of his influence with man, his choice is God's concern. I'm just quoting there. His choice is God's concern. And then the next sentence, as for the purpose of breaking down the barriers and reuniting his fragmented body, God has chosen to fill this position a man named Karol Wojtyla of Poland. This was the quote from the paper. It's on the tape, and I think it'd be something that you should have. I received a paper this week from the Living Sound, and those on the staff have seen it. There's a picture of this Pope who was cardinal over in Poland speaking during the meeting of the Living Sound with Terry Law. And for three years, this Pope helped pave the way and made it possible for the Living Sound to come in with their tremendous meetings in Poland. Isn't that tremendous? And there's quite an article in this little paper. I should probably reproduce some of them so you could have it, where this Pope told his feelings about the Living Sound and the ministry that God had given to them. And in this paper also is a reproduction of the telegram that Terry Law sent him on congratulations at taking the highest office in the Catholic Church. Because of his influence with men, God has prepared him. And this man now is challenging the people, the Catholics around the world, to evangelism. Did you know that? And he is turning their eyes to Jesus and is telling them there is power in the name of Jesus. He's upholding the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Things are happening that you couldn't dream of in the world today. God is on the job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Getting back to normal Christian living. I so enjoyed listening to John Berlusi as he told all of these priests. He said, to be normal in our Christian walk, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The normal Christian life is an awareness and a recognition of what the Spirit is doing. It is normal for the believer to experience the capabilities, the gifts, and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He was telling all of these priests to seek God, that in their communities, in their parishes, people would be healed, that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he went on to say, when I serve Mass in my church, he said, I no longer worry about speaking Latin to them. He said, I ask God to anoint me, and he said, I speak in other tongues while I'm serving Mass and communion. Praise God. And these priests loved it. You know why? It was coming from God. And God is by His Spirit bringing an awakening, and people are responding to what God is doing. Hallelujah. 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 And the normal Christian walk is this kind of a walk. Before we serve you communion today, and I trust that it will become a very living, vital thing to you, I'm going to read a portion of God's Word. And if you haven't, we didn't have the tapes available before. The tape, He Tasted Death, the message that I preached at our last communion service, He Tasted Death. Would Christ actually suffering, the second death, the penalty, the judgment of God for every person in the whole world. They don't have to face that judgment unless they refuse to identify with Jesus. But He has already taken your place in God's judgment. I want you to get that message as well. I want you to play it regularly, because communion and the blood of Jesus Christ is so important in the eyes of God. It was so important that Jesus said to do it often, as often as you do it. Do it, remember me. Don't forget. Remember what has taken place. Remember what I've done for you. And God is recognizing this. And today, as we have this beautiful time of communion, God again is looking down and is recognizing what is taking place. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
The apostle is speaking directly to us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he's pointing ahead to this day in which we're living. And if you wanted to put a title on this chapter, you could call it Last Day Guidelines. Guidelines for your life for this day. The Word definitely tells us we don't know the day nor the hour of the coming of Jesus, but we read here that we can know the time and we can know the season. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're interested in the times, the awful days of the outpouring of God's wrath that are definitely described in the Word, I realize there are many other ideas, but it's something that definitely is in the future, that is coming. If you're interested in that, He tells you, as believers, He has not appointed you to wrath, but He's appointed you something else. Those who are willing to put their faith in what Jesus has done will never face the day of God's wrath. He hasn't appointed us to wrath, but He appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Do you notice there's something here that is beautiful? The 18th verse of chapter 4, he tells them to comfort one another, because he's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Here, when he comes to emphasis on the return of Christ, he says the same thing. He knew, the Spirit knew, that there would be people going around literally trying to scare people half to death with the message of the second coming. I don't know how many millions of people there are in the United States alone who, when they hear that Jesus is coming, they tremble in their boots, scared to death, because they feel that their acceptance is based on how good they've been, how much of a performance they have, and they're quite sure that it hasn't quite measured up. Is there anybody here that has ever trembled or at least become a little frightened when you thought of the coming of Jesus? Let me be honest about it. Stick your hands up. Well, that's almost everybody. But he wants you to know that Jesus tasted death for you and already bore the penalty, and because you've put your faith in him, you don't have to be afraid anymore. And this is why he said, comfort one another. Get a hold of your brother, your sister. Get a hold of those children. Let them know that they're not going to have to face God's judgment, his wrath. Let them know. I'll tell you, kids are living with so much fear today. There's fear on every hand. And God wants us to bring some comfort to the world. You know why the Holy Spirit came? One of his purposes? Somebody says, well, we know that word comfort means just being called alongside to help. Quit showing how smart you are. True. You could make it say that. And if that one called alongside you to help you is one that comes there because he sees how bad you're feeling and comforts you, why, well, then you're right. But whether you know the Greek interpretation or not, you know the interpretation of this word. God said, I'm going to send you somebody to comfort you, to stand by you. Comfort one another. This is his work. Comfort one another and edify one another. Build each other up in view of the fact that Jesus is coming. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. The normal Christian walk is listed right here in this chapter. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You boys and girls, young people, or adults who are not behaving, if somebody warns you, don't say, well, those people are jumping on me. It's a normal Christian life. Expect it. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. If somebody wants to come and comfort you, why, don't take it wrong. Maybe you need it. Special. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Then I like this. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Make sure the lines of communication are up all the time. Where it doesn't mean to be stay on your knees 24 hours a day. It means that you can get the signal through when you need to get it through. Praise God. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. That word quench means don't deny him a place in your life. Don't stop him from doing the thing that he wants to do for you. Quench not the Spirit. Let the Spirit warm your heart. Let him fill you. Let him empower you. Let him cause the fruit of the Spirit to come forth in your life. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I told you how that you could be preserved blameless. You know that your body isn't blameless now. You know that your emotions aren't blameless now, but it's blameless in his sight. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he, verse 24, said, the one that chose you and called you will do the job. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You might remember to write last day guidelines. Now, I know there are people that are wondering, because of the many cults so to speak, the many different breakdowns of religion that some are distasteful. You're wondering, well, where does this fit into the picture? What about it? What about that person who is so desires to be so spiritual that you cannot hold a conversation with him? Did you ever meet anyone that you couldn't hold a conversation with because they were afraid they might lose their contact fellowship? The reason I'm saying this, I've had a number of you ask me about this. I try to talk to this person, all I can hear is, well, praise the Lord. God wants you to praise Him, but He also wants you to talk to people. Did you know that? God wants you to communicate, to talk, be able to talk with people. I had a lady come in. I mentioned this in one of my classes from another church, and she just is representative of many, many, many that have come. But she told me, Pastor Buck, I don't know what I'm going to do to my husband or for him. She said, we used to have such good fellowship till I gave my heart to Jesus. And now, she said, I can't talk to him. He acts like he doesn't love me anymore, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. And the more I try and love Jesus, the farther away he seems to get from me. And I said, well, what are you doing? She said, well, I try and pray every day, and I get out nice bits of good Christian material, and I lay it down in front of where I know my husband's going to sit, and I will tell him good things, and I try and talk a real language of my spirit to him and talk about the Lord and so on. And I looked at this lady. Her husband didn't know the Lord, see. And I told her that she was developing into a great, big, fat spirit. Your spirit's so healthy. You're afraid to encourage or to nourish any other part of you. All you are is a big, fat spirit. Your husband has no way of relating to your spirit. He doesn't know the Lord. Your soul is shriveled up and is dying. And that's your soul is your humanity. And your husband looks at your shriveled up soul and he says, oh, I didn't think I married that. You used to be able to talk about food. You could talk about your trips you've made. You could talk about things that were mutual interest. Now there's nothing you can talk about that he relates to. There's no way that you can relate to him. And so I talked to her about what a normal Christian ought to be. And this is what is happening in this church. God is putting people who are normal people in this building. And in his body today, God is building normal, wholesome people that Paul was referring to. Paul knew about it. He said, I pray that your whole spirit, your whole your humanity, and your body be preserved blameless. God paid the price for all three. You might jot this down or make a little, at least a diagram in your mind so you remember that with our spirits, we reach upward to God. We touch Him, and His life pours down into them. With our humanity, we reach outward to people. There's the spiritual, then there's the human. And God's love and His life can not only occupy our spirits, but it can occupy our humanity too. God doesn't mind if you have a good sense of humor. He gave it to you. Wouldn't the world be a dull place to live if you didn't know anybody with a sense of humor? It'd be rough. Some people have a kind of a morbid one. They need to get it twisted around right. But nevertheless, he gave you, until it's been tampered and twisted, it's something that's good. He gave you that personality. He gave you that radiance, that spark. He gave you certain gifts and talents. God gave them to you. That's your humanity. And so I told her, I said, what does your husband like to do? Well, she said, he likes to fish. When it's not fishing season, he likes football games. She said, I detest football games. And she said, I just have to sit and read the Bible all the time while he's watching football games. She said, I don't know anything about it. So I told her, I said, I'm going to pray for you, but before I do, I want to tell you something. I want you to get yourself all the information you can get on these football games he's watching. I want you to learn what a tackle is. I want you to learn what a touchdown is. I want you to learn what a first down is. I want you to learn some of these plays. Oh, she says, I don't want to do that. So I told her to do it anyway. To learn these things. Oh, but it's so carnal. I said, you have to allow your humanity also to come back to life. If you want to have some fellowship and help that husband of yours, there's going to have to be something that he can relate to there, of the real you. And be yourself. And cook some of those good meals. Don't serve him just a can of soup or cold crackers. You just about quit everything, see, because she found one didn't want to break the chain of her spiritual life. You don't have to be some kind of a nut to be filled with the Spirit and to be a Christian today. I believe that Spirit-filled Christians should be the most normal, wholesome people in the whole world. You believe that? That's the truth. God wants us to be normal. He wants us to have that flow of His life. Praise God. He wants us. And this is what He's planned for, you see. So, this lady, I prayed for her and God ministered to her. But she was having a real difficulty, you see, in this way. It gave me a good illustration to give to many, many others that have come in their desire to serve God, in their desire not to do something that would displease Him. They have allowed themselves to become shriveled up inside in their humanity. I'm not saying, ladies, for all of you, they have to learn how to play football. But I am saying there's something that you can do. That you love to do. There are areas of your humanity that God wants to be developed. He wants you to be a real person to all of those people that you know. He wants people to be able to relate to you, to your kindness, to your love, to those deeds that you perform, to just being a good person, a good neighbor. There's so many ways your humanity. Well, this lady, I prayed with her. She went back. And she came out to some of my Friday morning services. She told me, she said, you just can't believe what this did. She said, I've got my husband back again. She said, we're happier than we've ever been in our lives. Praise God. You were in the office then, Joanne, at that particular time. I'm sure you remember this lady. But it when I saw her again, I could, it's hard to even recognize her as the same one who came in so crushed and so broken and so fearful. But now she was just radiating the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk about a normal Christian. When you live the kind of life and let the Spirit live within you, you become wholesome. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. And God has provided health for all three areas. In the atonement, for your spirit, for your soul, and for your body. His blood was shed for your spirit, the spiritual needs. He was bruised, he said, and beaten for our griefs. That's the emotional part. And then his body was also broken, and he received the stripes for our body, for our physical healing. God has health for all three parts of our being. Hallelujah. And as you partake of this communion service today, I want you to remember the Lord's body, that there was provision there for all of your needs. Ask God to help to make you that real, whole, complete person in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know that God is going to minister. There are some here who are sick in body. You're going to find physical healing during the service. There are some who are weighted down and depressed. You're going to find emotional healing. And there are some of you who have never known Jesus Christ. You're filled with fear and consternation because you know there's a day coming when you're going to be standing before God in judgment. But as you partake this morning and as you hold in your hand this cup that signifies the blood of Jesus Christ and the penalty that was paid for your sins, as you hold in your hand that cup, and you let God know by that token that you're not putting your faith in what you can do, what you have done, but in what Jesus did. Something is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. God is going to, by His hand, blot out all of the records against you. He wants you to put that faith in His blood. Praise God. Shall we bow our hearts? I'm going to ask our brethren to come. We're going to serve you communion at this time. While the communion is being served, I'd like for those who have need of physical healing, I'd like for you just to lift your hand now before the Lord. I want you to respond to the Lord while we take. Actually expect something special to take place in your life. God sees these many, many hands. Are there some that have been troubled with nervous problems? And it seems as though there are times of depression and heavy burden. And today, you want to make yourself available to that healing flow for your nervous upset or the problem that you experienced. Did I see your hands in the building? Oh, there are a number of you. A number. God knows. I wonder if there's some here today. You haven't known Jesus. You know that there's a barrier that stands between you and God, and it has frightened you. But you want it removed. You want peace with God. You want the joy, the assurance that you see these other people having. I want you now to lift your hand. God has this healing for you. As I see these hands, yes, over here and up in the balcony. Yes, God sees this. I want you to open your heart while we partake today and let God do what He intends to do. He wants you to be a complete, normal believer, a real person. Praise God. Are there rifts in your home between husband and wife, between parents and children? God has healing for those rifts today. He includes that in his atonement. Praise God. Believe him as we partake today. I'm going to ask our sister Mary Lou if she would sing a verse of that song that she's playing, Oh, the Blood. I want you to close your eyes and shut yourself away while she sings. Visualize the great river, the flood of his blood as it takes care of those things that are needful in our lives. Are there some that, or is there even one that may have been missed with communion? We'd like to make sure that it is brought to you. If you'd lift your hand.